Okay, so this workshop is about learning to grieve in recovery, and I would like to introduce Trey Dean to the stand, please.
How's everybody doing? I'm Trey, my addict. When Mo first asked me to do this, man, I was honored to say the least. And I want to tell you, man, thank y'all for being here today, filling these seats up. Y'all are helping me stay clean today. I'm eternally grateful for that. I don't know if I'm qualified to tell you how grief works, but what I can tell you is before recovery, I lived in chaos, fear, and anger due to a lot of losses. And since I found recovery, I don't have to live like that anymore. I live in peace. I live in freedom. And I'm happy, joyous, and free. And I didn't do that by myself. You know, I used to hear when I was younger that God won't put you through more than you can handle. Well, I've got a track record of proof that that's just not true for me. I can't speak for anybody else. But there's a lot of things that I could not handle. And I'm going to tell you about a few of them right now, if you don't mind. So we all know how to stay high, right? So I don't have to talk to y'all about any of that. Is Mason in here? Well, he likes when I say this. I had 11 years clean, then I turned 12 years old, and I stayed high for 35 straight years. And I guess you guys know what happened in between, right? So May the 12th, 2018, my mom had pancreatic cancer, and I moved her back in with me so I could pretend I was taking care of her. See, I was still in active addiction at this time. What I really did is I moved my daughter, my firstborn, in with me to do it for me. So May the 12th, 2018, I get a call to come home. And, you know, pancreatic cancer is a pretty terrible disease. On the way home, after I got high, I made peace that my mom had passed away. Well, I got home, and my mom was sitting on the front porch in her wheelchair. So I'm like, what's going on? There's ambulances. I go in the house, and my daughter's laying dead on the floor. You know, our children are watching us all the time. You know, I didn't ever get high on my daughter, but she was watching me the whole time. And she had found, I'm not going to glorify any specific things, but she had found narcotics as a way to give her energy. Well, she was taking a bath, and she went to sleep, and she fell asleep, and she drowned in the bathtub. Now, May the 15th, my mom did die of pancreatic cancer because that was her firstborn grandbaby, and that just killed her. So we're having a joint funeral for my daughter and my mother on May the 18th, 2018. And I'm going to pick up my best friend, Alan, of 40 years. You know, that between his house and my house, of course, I had to get high because that's what I do. I get to his house, he'd had a stroke, and he was dead in his living room. So, you know, that was a tough day, and I'm going to leave it right there as far as that goes. But I want to talk to you. I went home, and by this time I got a 4-year-old and a 10-year-old. You would think that that would wake me up and say, you got to be a dad to your children now, right? Well, the thing about the disease of addiction, what it does, it uses whatever tool it can use to keep me sick. And I thought I was playing a victim before that. Now I've got this huge victim mentality I can use. And I went straight to anger, and I picked up that grief, and I used it as a tool and a weapon, as a tool to justify my behavior so I could continue to get high, and as a weapon to keep people away from me because I didn't ever want to hurt like that again. So I went on for several years. I left my hometown. I was going to run off and be this big music star or whatever. And, you know, I ended up behind the mission in Nashville. But I don't have to tell you how I got there either, right? What I do want to tell you is I blame God for taking my daughter. I blame God for taking my mom. My dad was passed at this time. I've had a brother murdered. My best friend was gone. All the people that I called my friends that I grew up with was either in prison or dead themselves. And I blame God for not taking me too. And I looked for God and all that hate, resentment, fear, self-centeredness, and I never could find him. And I got mad at him about that too. You know what I'm saying, Jeff?
Yeah.
Well, I was at that, I had to be separated from the dope. And when I got separated from the dope, see, I never gained any coping skills growing up. At 12 years old, I found that one coping skill that would work, And that was making it stop hurt right now. And that was put one more in. Well, see, now I've got it. I've been separated from the dope. I'm in a treatment center. And after about 2 weeks of that, 2 weeks of listening to respond in the meetings because my disease was trying to tell me I was different, I was better or worse than you. 2 weeks of using my character defects to keep people at arm's length. Y'all ever seen Beetlejuice, the first one? Mm-hmm. You know how when she picks him up and the knives come out? Yeah, that was me. But you know, I went up to the front of the room on that fateful day, and it had been 2 weeks without that only coping skill I had. And everything that I'd never dealt with hit me all at one time, and it put me on my knees. Now, when I say on my knees, it wouldn't put me on my knees to pray. It put me on my knees because I didn't have anywhere else to go. You know, I told you, people say that God won't put us through more than we can handle. Well, I got put on my knees that day, and I don't know what made me do it. But see, I've been looking for God in the problem. I've been looking for him in the pain and the resentment, like I said. But on that day, for some reason, I looked up and said, "Whatever you are, please help me or kill me. I can't do this." And I found God for the first time since I was 12 years old. Because he's not in the problem, he's in the solution. And the minute I looked for the solution, I found God in the faces of the men that was in that room with me that day. Because they weren't crying because of their pain. They were crying because of mine. And I knew right then I was never going to be alone again. So I started listening to understand instead of listening to respond. And what I found out was the way that God would see, I can't handle this stuff, but there's nothing that God can't handle if I let him do it for me. See, that's the part of that I was missing. I was leaving that out of the equation. What I found is people that I was trying to keep at arm's length, those are the things that God were going to use to help me through this. Those were the people that God was going to use to teach me how to live again. Because I didn't know how to. I didn't have any coping skills. So I started going to Narcotics Anonymous. And I remember still feeling like I was different than everybody in the room. But you know what? I had to die or I had to live. Those were only two choices I had. So what I started doing is raising my hand and saying, "Hey, man, I'm an addict. I don't know what to do. Somebody please help me." And I asked this guy to be my sponsor, and he said I'd be honored. And I couldn't believe that. That was foreign to me, right? But I continued to take his suggestion for the most part. For the most part. You can see him laughing right there a little bit. But you know, I found out in early recovery, I was still using that grief as a tool, man, because I wanted your pity, man. Yeah. I didn't feel like people could like me. Just for me, so I wanted to use that as a tool to make sure you at least had to feel sorry for me and let me in. And out of addiction, I would use that grief as you know, if I thought I could manipulate you, I would do that. If I thought I could intimidate you, I would do that. If I thought I could make you feel sorry for me, I would do that. I would do whatever I needed to do to get what I needed to get. And I found myself doing the same thing in recovery. But you know, that thing, that gift of recovery, when we keep coming back, just like I told you, my children were watching me. I might have been paying attention, but I was seeing more than I was seeing. You know, I started seeing people in recovery that were going through things just like I'd went through. I'd never went through that grief. And the thing about grief is it's like pushing the pause button, y'all. I was going to have to go through it or I was going to have to sit in it the rest of my life. Those were my only two choices. So I started listening to understand those meetings again. I started seeing people that were going through grief and recovery, and I started seeing how they were doing it clean, and I started seeing how they were doing it with joy, and they had people to support them, and they didn't have to cry off in a hole, and they didn't have to use it as a tool and manipulate people. And they weren't looking for pity. They weren't looking for sympathy. They were getting empathy. And the difference between those two words was amazing to me. Mason S. and Kayla, I mean Mason S. and Stacy K. You know, I've gotten the opportunity to see them go through some loss like that back to back to back to back. And there's one thing that came to me that really finally registered with me. You know, grief and out of addiction was about my victim mentality. I found peace in recovery because it's about gratitude. You know, I find myself being grateful that I didn't have to be alone anymore. I found myself being grateful that I could talk to other people about the losses I've been through. You know, grateful that I didn't have to get high over it anymore. But you know what this program has done for me more than anything else? I used to hate God and blame Him for taking these people from me. But because of this program, Narcotics Anonymous, and all of you, I get to thank Him every day for giving them to me to start with. Now, God don't kill people. God is not walking around moving people around like pawns, like I'm the center of the universe. I used to feel like He did, but He doesn't. What God does is God is in everybody I meet every day. He's in everything I come in contact with, but I've got to be looking for Him to find Him. You know, and I see little pieces of my daughter Amber and all of y'all every day. And I used to cry all the time. I used to set myself up for bad days. You know, this is her birthday's coming up. This is the day she died. This day she liked to wear pink, whatever. And I would set myself up for bad days. See, that was a choice I was making because I was familiar with the chaos. I was familiar with the pain. And I felt comfortable in the pain. And I didn't know how to handle the gratitude. I didn't know how to be okay. But that was a choice too, man. So what I started doing is I started trying to find gratitude every day, man. And this may not work for you. All I can do is give you what I got, all right? I don't discount my daughter's birthday. I don't discount the holidays. Yes, I miss her, but I miss her every day. What I do is if I'm coming up on a day that I know is going to be tough because I'm an addict and I'll still play a victim if I give myself half a chance, what I do is I plan a good day instead of a bad day. I spend time with my fellow addicts. I go to work and I try to be a good employee. I find something on TV, man, a ball game or something I enjoy, and I do that because the people that I've lost, they're still with me. And they don't want me to be miserable. And God don't want me to be miserable. You know, if we didn't lose people in this life, it would take the value of our relationships away. It's hard to see that, though, when we're hurting, though, right, Jeffrey? It's hard to see that when we're hurting. And it's hard to imagine that if we have a sick loved one or if someone, you know, there's a chance we may lose somebody. But, you know, this has been my experience. You know, I grieved my dad the whole time, the last few years of his life. I grieved him before he died. And I missed that time with him, man. I'm not trying to say I got grief figured out. You know, because there's five stages in there. And any given day, I can find myself in denial, anger, bargaining, depression, or acceptance. But what I do is I thank God for giving me that day. And I try to do my best to be the man He wants me to be. And the amends I get to make to my daughter today, no, I can't be a father to her anymore. But what I can be is a good dad to her brother and sister. What I can be is the kind of person that she would be proud to call dad. See, I can honor her memory that way. Her name was Amber Lee. She was born February 22nd, 1992. And I thank God so much every day that He gave me those 26 years with her.
Yes, sir.
I'm not a victim, y'all. Victims don't recover.
Amen.
What I am is a very, very, very blessed individual, man.
Yes.
You know, 35 years of active addiction, in and out of prisons, on the streets, gunfights, all that stuff, man. It was what I used to be. And today I'm standing at a convention in Decatur, freaking Alabama, in a room full of addicts who just found another way to stay clean one more day. And I don't have to get high over pain anymore, y'all. I don't have to dishonor the people that I love's memory by playing a victim and using it as a tool or a weapon against anybody. You know, this program, Jeffrey, what it promised me, man, was, you know, the message was hope. And the promise was freedom from active addiction. But with that comes so much more. If you're going through something today, if you're missing somebody, man, my prayers are with you. I feel you. I just got a question for you, man, and it's kind of a first step question. My sponsor always tells me, he's all the time, that's a first step problem. It's amazing how many of my problems are first step problems, ain't it, Chase? What he tells me is it's a first step problem. So I got a question for you, man. If you're struggling, are you tired of fighting? Just stop fighting. No, that was a solution for me. I haven't found it necessary to use drugs since September 9th, 2021.
Right.
And I don't care what happens today, y'all. I ain't going to do it today either. Thanks for letting me share.
Right. Thank you.
Right, that was great. I'm going to introduce the next speaker, Mr. Jeffrey S.
This thing. Act named Jeffrey. That's 1996. First convention. I'm in Nashville, Tennessee. I got clean. I got about 7 months clean. Everybody's going to the convention. Everybody's car is full. I know a few quotes out of the basic text. I'm reading. I'm working on the first step. My first sponsor's here. They said the cars was full. You know, when you get clean, you get a raise, right? I got on a Greyhound bus. Bus let me off down the street down there. Walked over here, came to that convention 28 years ago. Now this is convention 27. We lost a year in COVID, correct? I got 28 years. That's the first convention. Just to give y'all a little something. This convention has saved my life. We're talking about grieving and recovery. And I've got a lot of friends and family out here that I've watched them go through deaths of their family members. And but I'm going to share this part right here. About 5 years clean, the question came up in, I don't know if it was step work, I don't know if it was just a question, it came up, do you have any reservations? Do you? What's going to happen to make your ass use right now? You got any reservation? Thank you, Charles. And the question, and so my sponsor at the time, he's here. I wrote, put it down on paper. I said, if my mother passes and one of my kids pass, y'all better keep a close damn eye on my ass. That was the reservations. So it came to pass. 2019, I ain't got a lot of time and I ain't finna talk about no dope. 2019, my son passed with an overdose. They called me, I was in Louisville, Kentucky. He's in Nashville. And so they said, your son has passed. My family called me and they said, something done happened to Jeffrey. I'm Jeffrey, he's Jeffrey. My firstborn, And so I load up all the guns. Put them in the trunk of the car. They called me back. They said he's unresponsive. They said it was OD. Fentanyl. I'm just putting that out there. You're not alone, man. You ain't got to be by yourself. No more. No more. Ain't no excuse. Ain't no reason. Ain't no... I'm in a no matter what club. You see that sweat I had on? I wear NA on my back. On my front, my back, my chest, my forehead. I love this program, man. It has given me everything. But I remember going through that time when that boy passed. I didn't know what to do. But I got a support group, y'all. I got a support group, and some of them like me and some of them don't on some days. But they love me. And they was calling my phone because I'm in isolation, right? Right, Trey? I'm in isolation. I ain't trying to fuck with nobody. I'm in isolation. But I know if I don't pick this phone up, they're going to keep calling. So I pick the phone up and act like I'm okay. Yeah, I'm good. Yeah, I'm all right. But I'm fucked up. Then another addict lost his fiance about at the same time. Actually, my son passed January the 5th. Right? No, February the 5th. Right around this convention. And so when he passed, we had the funeral the next week, and everybody in here that know me was saying, come on to the convention. I was like, I ain't trying to be bothered with nobody. But they said, you need to come to the convention. So I rounded up enough recovery myself, so I came. I didn't make a lot of meetings that weekend. They surrounded me. They prayed with me. They fed me. They took care of me that weekend. Made sure I had everything I needed. And I'm saying all that to say, man, get you a support group. Get you some people around you that believe in you and want to help you in your recovery. Because some shit gonna come down your pike one day. If you blessed to have longevity in this motherfucking world, if God bless you to have longevity, I came here, look, that's 96. I was 34 years old. I'm 62 now. Seemed like only yesterday we came here, man, laughing and talking and all of that and all now all this shit done happened in my life, man. And I'm like Trey. When my son left here, I'm asking, I'm mad as hell at God. I'm talking to another addict that had lost his daughter in Nashville. Some of y'all know who I'm talking about. I'm talking to him. Then I'm talking to Thomas. Me and Thomas is talking every damn week. This program will thrust you to some people that you didn't think you would have relationships with. I mean close relationships. If you allow it to happen for you. I don't know who's going to be able to help me, man. I know that when I see Thomas, that me and him reflect on them days. And we can laugh and we can cry and we can do whatever. I know that I got a sponsor in here that lost his wife in COVID. He's in here. He got his little girl with him in here, her mother. Man. I miss Brenda Faye. I miss Carlos. I miss PJ. I miss all the addicts that we have lost. To whatever they lost, we lost them for. But man, I'm here to tell you that. I was so mad at God. I didn't know I was mad at God until I talked. Look, if you hear yourself talk, I'm telling the other addict, I said, man, you mad at God. But actually, I was. You left me here for this? I came here so you could take my son, when I should have been dead a long time ago. I ain't supposed to be here. But now that we're here, what do we do? See, I ain't like... I watch Carl go through his grief with his mother. I mean, there's countless people in here. Everybody, look, a lot of people done lost a lot of people in here. And this ain't the workshop for a lot of laughter and a lot, but check this out. We can laugh today. We can be happy today. And we can cry. Ain't no wrong with crying, man. Because that's the best place. When you shed them tears, look, don't nothing grow without water. So when you crying, you growing. So keep growing. Keep loving on you and allow these addicts to love on you. I don't know how to tell you about grief. Because when it hits, it's going to hit you. Just like it hit me. And just like I told you in the beginning, if you don't have that support group, if you ain't sharing about the reservation, what's going to get you high? If somebody leave you, what's going to get you high? Or what do you think is going to get you high? If you ain't got a first step, and it ain't concrete, a first step, the step that you're going to wake up to every day, that you stack the other 11 steps on top of, that's got to be a hell of a fucking step. To stack 11 more steps on top of that mother. That's a strong ass step. But here's the thing that I had to do too. I had to go get some outside help. Cause grief was kicking the shit out of me. Them 5 stages, oh, it was whooping my ass, Trey. So I had to go get some professional help. Cause y'all told me that ain't no doctors and lawyers up in here. Everybody up in here came here for the same. How are we gonna stop using this fucking dope? So I went and got some help, man. I went and got some counseling. So when I went and got the counseling, I'm in this counseling session every morning. And I woke up one morning. And this is the best therapy you can have right here, this program. And your step work. I woke up one morning in that counseling session. And the word S-U-R-R-E-N-D-E-R came, bam!
Now share it.
Surrender to grief, Jeffrey. You fighting that motherfucker. I was fighting grief like hell. Look, man, I wouldn't even go to the boy's grave site. I'm still imagining that he's still alive. I didn't want to face reality. I lost that son, then I lost a grandson in 20, then I just lost another son in 24 of last year. I got hit hard, man. I got hit hard. But I'm gonna tell you something, this fellowship, my support group has stood in there with me. They call me every day, they love on me, they keep me grounded. And they show me that they love me. They just don't tell me. They give me the strength to come back here one another day and do this thing again and again and again. Just for the day. Because just for the day is all we have. I'm not here to tell you something you ain't never heard before. I'm just here to share with you some of the stuff that I've been through. Because, shit, if I had my way, I would have been done trying to make this pain stop. Just up there, I'm on my job, man. Look, and as Trey just talked about, I just bust out the crying, man. Missing my boys. But I got other children I got to stand in there for. They're watching me. Ron said it. I got to stand in here and be the man that God put me here to be. And take this and give it back to y'all. So y'all can say, check this out. Here's the thing. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions. Ever reminding us to place principles before personnel. You want to break my anonymity? If you find somebody that lost a kid, you break the fuck out of my anonymity. you break that motherfucker. I know somebody, you ain't got a U. Let's get Jeffrey S.'s number. Break it. Because when something like that happens, you think you know how you think we all by ourselves? Huh? We're not by ourselves. That's why I told you ain't by yourself, man. Because a lot of people ain't lost. Look, you lose your mother. Man, look here. When you lose a kid, it's not the natural order of things. It's not the natural order of things. And when you lose a kid, it's something in the core of you that just, it's like a hole, man, that can't be filled in the beginning. But as you gradually keep coming around here, that hole begins to start filling, man. And you start getting some of you back. And when I start getting some of me back, I start coming back and giving back to this program that y'all have given me so much. I'm not going to go out here and tarnish my kid's name by going out here getting high again. I mean, look, I ain't leave nothing back here. I didn't leave nothing back here. I came to that right there. I ain't leave nothing back here. Fuck back there. I ain't going back that way. I'm going this way. This is the way I'm going. So I'm, you know, when this convention, when this topic came up for this convention, I want to thank the committee people at this convention for choosing me for this topic, because I need to share about where I am with this so that tomorrow I can get another better day. Like you said, plan another better day. When my son's birthday comes up, I have a shrine in my house. I got his t-shirt out. I got his pictures out. And you know, I'm having me and a Jeffrey day. Me and Jeffrey Jr. Me and Jeffrey. And I'm having a pretty good day. But when them five stages kick in, man, I ain't got no help. And I got to be able to use that telephone. I got to be able to use this in order to get in contact and let somebody know where I'm at. Because y'all don't know when his birthday is. Y'all don't remember when he died. I put something on Facebook the other day. I said, God, please help me now. Shit, about 95 people got on that damn thing. Immediately. So I'm saying all that to say, man, surround yourself with people that love you. Understand that you're here for a reason. Understand that stuff's going to happen to you. People, if you're blessed with longevity here, people are going to leave. They are. People are going to leave here, man. And so we need to be prepared to love on one another, keep each other accountable, and lay hands on one another, man. One to another, male, female, and allow ourselves to help one another and love on each other so we can get to the next day or the next moment. Look, when the pandemic hit, the boy and Pat got on Zoom, and so I've been Zooming a lot. I'm really just not getting back into this right here. I had a heart attack, thyroid issues. You know, I'm immunocompromised. But I'm better now. I ain't so paranoid. Y'all kind of taking care of yourselves now. A lot of you motherfuckers coming to meeting with COVID and wasn't telling nobody. But y'all know what I'm talking about. I ain't lying on nobody. But y'all know y'all asymptomatic and all that shit. I'm going to meeting anyway. I'm an addict. COVID ain't going to kill me. Man, get out of here with that. Well, don't kill me with your goddamn thoughts, all right? So we can still laugh, man. I can still laugh about it, man. I can still be all right with me. You know what I mean? And I can love on my kids, man. And because I know they're going through it. Their brothers have passed, and my daughters, my grandkid passed, and my daughter's going through that. And I have to be mindful that it ain't just about me. I got to be mindful that it just ain't about me, because they looking for me, man. I'm a strong figure in my family. My family looking for me. So I need to be sometimes reminded that here's the date coming up. We need to get on this, because I know my daughter's going through it. But if if you have any reservations about using, get rid of them here today. Talk to somebody about it. Reservations will kill your ass. Because it just might come true. Your reservation just mine did. And I almost fucking used. I ain't gonna tell y'all I ain't wanna use. I fucking wanted the pain to fucking stop. But I played the tape off. Look, I had enough step work. I played the tape all the way through to the end. And the tape said, that ain't gonna bring him back. That ain't gonna bring them back. Man, I'm grateful, man, to this program for giving me everything I need to cope with everything that comes down my plate. Because that's what this program does. Do your step work, do some traditions, understand your concepts, and give yourself a break. Because shit's going to happen. I ain't got a whole lot of profound things to say about this, but I'm going to tell you, if you surrender to whatever it is that you're fighting, you give yourself a chance at this thing. And we can move on to the next day. I'm going to see my mama when I leave here, right? My mama, 84 years old. Huh? My mama, 84, man. I'm grateful to have my mother. Because she loves on me. But y'all love on me too. Y'all look. Y'all know me better than I know my family better than know me. I'm serious. Y'all know me better than them. So if I allow y'all to get to know me like that, I can go and treat them in a way that they say, Mama said, you still going to them meetings? Because after about 5 years clean, man, she gave me the key back to the house. Huh? You start getting stuff back around here, man. She stopped looking at me sideways, said, that motherfucker gonna run today. She stopped looking at me like that. They wait on me to get home to pray. They wait on me to get home to barbecue. They wait on me when I come back from Louisville to Nashville. They wait on me, man. So I'm saying, man, this program give you your life back. It helps me be a productive member. I go to work every day. I'm trying to retire soon as the fuck I can. Huh? I want out now, but that ain't gonna give me all my money. You know we like that money. Huh? So I gotta wait a little while, but it's okay. So when I leave here, head back to Nashville. You remember I told you, I don't even want to go to the boy's grave. Want to pick me up? Oh, pick me up some flowers. I'm gonna go visit the grave. I'm gonna go pick me up some flowers. I'm gonna say it again. And I'm gonna go visit the grave. And I act like it, that he's gonna pop up one day and call me. And be in denial. This program helps me to stop fooling myself. It helps me to understand that everything ain't roses all the time, and it helps me to understand that God loves me and he loves y'all too, because if he didn't love y'all, y'all wouldn't be sitting in here listening to me cry and laughing with me when I laugh and going through all these range of feelings with me, because this is what this program is about. I got all my feelings back, and so did you. So when it's your turn and everybody's gonna get a turn to eat peas and carrots, just know that we're here for you, we love you, and you ain't, and whatever you're going through, it ain't bigger than this right here. Ain't nothing bigger than this right here. Whatever you got, somebody done been through it. Just come in here and share about it, and let's get through it, and let's get to the next day. I love you guys, man. That's all I got.